Yeah. What's that? Kid stuff that night? What time is kid stuff that night? 7? We're going to have it at 6 then. It worked out good. Boy, it all works out good for those who love him. But good. That worked out good. I believe it is 11. But have all that ready. And, you know, I don't know if you do this or not, but pray for the leaders of your church. We're trying to work some things together. This is the first time we've ever been faced with this. It's a good thing. We know that the Lord wants us to keep this thing going, so we're trying to do some things and put things in place, you know, because we're all getting older. And we're thinking of your future. And we're doing some things. But anyway, thank you, guys. Hey, if you only got your outline, we're going to continue in this series, Unshakable, Thriving No Matter What They Throw At You. We started last week on what to do when you're asked to do the impossible. We looked at a couple of things. I told you there were 8 things that you are to do when you're faced with an impossible task, whether it's from your boss or whether you're your spouse or some relationship. And the first thing I said was don't panic. You know, it's hard to make good decisions when you're panicking. And the second thing I said was ask why. What I meant by that was get all the facts. Get all the facts. Also learn the motivation behind the request. And so we'll jump right into to number 3 of what to do when you ask to do the impossible is this. Ask for time to create a solution. When you're asked to do the impossible, ask for time to create a solution. You know, whether it's your boss or whatever it is, you know, there's a reason. You know, a lot of times when I'm asked to do what I feel like is impossible, that I immediately want to get to work on it. I figure, you know, time is telling me I ain't got much time, so I gotta do it right this. But I know that in a crisis, the greatest temptation that you and I will have is to be impulsive. It's to not really think about it, not logically or rationally. But so we want to be careful, and we want to ask for time. We want to take some time. Because it's important to make the right decision instead of making a fast decision. It's way important. And so the wrong decision is the wrong decision whether you make it fast or slow. It's still wrong. And so we got to calm down a little bit and talk to God about it. And Daniel 2:16 says, Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could interpret the meaning of the dream for the king. Daniel says, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm not going to do like the rest of these guys and say it's impossible. I'm just going to give this my best shot. But I love what Daniel did here, and it's practical, especially with our bosses and someone in authority. He went at once. Now, he didn't jump on it right then and say, you know, I'm going to get to work on it. But he did say he went at once to the king. He went at once to the king. And so while you want to take your time for the solution, you want to make contact with that person that made this request immediately. Does that make any sense? You want to go with them immediately. Don't procrastinate. Our saying around our house is don't dilly-dally. Don't dilly-dally. I'm the king dilly-dallyer. I looked up at my gutters yesterday. You know how the leaves are falling? I got a tree growing out of my gutter. And the leaves are falling off it. Into the gutter. Because I've been dilly-dallying. A long time. But I love the fact that here is this 17-year-old kid and how courageous he is. He runs straight. Straight to the king. He's courageous. Immediately to the source of pressure. And I guess that's what I'm talking about is go immediately to the source of pressure and say, give me some time. Give me some time. But I got to ask you, you know, I told you I was procrastinating about my gutters. I did put the ladder up next to it yesterday, so I may do it today. I may do it today. What are you procrastinating about? What are you guys procrastinating about? What is it that you know you need to do? What is it that you know that needs done? You've been maybe waiting even years to do it, like Jeff said, years for my gutters. Is it you pretending everything's okay in your marriage? You're just kind of putting off dealing with it? You didn't want to face it? Is there some kind of problem in some relationships that you have, some friendships? And you just, you know what it is, and you just don't want to deal with it, and you just keep sweeping it under the rug, and you go in there and there's a big heel under your rug. Maybe that heel is growing between your relationships, between you and your friend, because you just keep procrastinating. What is it that you're pretending is not a problem in your life? What is it? Let me tell you something about procrastination. The tree gets bigger. Procrastination only makes the problem worse. You've heard that old saying, time heals all wounds. That's a lie. If time could heal everything, then all you'd have to do is just go sit in the doctor's office. Because you're going to sit there a while anyway. I mean, you're going to be there. You're going to be there a while, and eventually you're just going to get well if time heals everything. Doctor calls out, Jim, it's your time to come in. I'm good. I've been out here long enough where I'm healed. No, it just doesn't work that way. Time doesn't heal everything. And so, number four, the fourth thing you do, what to do when you ask to do the impossible, is enlist prayer support from your friends. Enlist prayer support from your friends. This was huge for Daniel. And Daniel got a prayer team going, boom, just like that. Daniel 2, 17, 18 says, then Daniel went home and told his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This is Meshach, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he said, pray that the God who, he told them what happened. He says, pray that the God who rules from heaven will be merciful and explain this mystery so that we and the other advisors won't be put to death. Here's a question I have for you. I want you to write this down. Do you have any prayer partners? Who would be the first three people that you would call? Three people. You know, that's a prayer team. If you don't have three people, I urge you as your pastor to get three people. And I ain't talking about the Facebook kind where you put on there and says, I need everybody praying for me. God knows the situation. I want to say, that's just dumb. Get you three people that you can tell what the situation is. And so they can pray specifically for you. That they would know why, that they would know what they're praying. Every man and woman needs a prayer team. They need it before the crisis happens. Here's my other question I have that goes along with. Who can call you? Who can call you? Who can call you? You need to be, available. You need to be approachable. That someone would ask you to pray the way Daniel did. You know, a godly prayer. I love what Daniel says. He wanted to pray. He wanted to pray for everybody. Because a godly person is just not going to pray for themselves. They're going to pray for everyone. Even if they have different lifestyles. Even if they disagree. They're going to pray for everyone. I'll never forget a friend of mine came to me and he said, Jim, I'm about to be laid off from the plan. I love what he said. I said, well, I want to pray for you. He said, no, I want to pray for everybody in the plan. He said, I'm not the only one that's going to get laid off. I want to pray for everybody. I want to pray for everybody in my plan. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. Just like you prayed for Obama 8 years ago, you better be on your knees praying for our President-elect Trump to do a good job. Just like you prayed for him to do a good job, you better pray for Trump to do a good job. That's how we fix our government, is to pray for them. That's how we fix them, is to pray for them. Number five, pray and expect God to have supernatural help or to give supernatural help. Expect God to give supernatural help. When you're facing an impossible situation in your life, I'm talking about the kind of help that you don't have on your own power, that it doesn't depend on your logic, your wisdom, your talent. If it does, it ain't going to happen. This is the supernatural power that I'm talking about, that it ain't going to happen unless God does it. And you need His help. You need His help to take your relationships to a different level, to take your business to a different level, to heal your land. You need His help to make it rain. We need supernatural help. That's what I'm talking about. And expect it. Expect it. I prayed for rain as soon as I left the house this morning. I realized I hadn't been expecting it. So I grabbed my raincoat. It's in my office. And you know what? I started to look at the weather center. I said, no, I ain't worried about that weather center, because it's just going to, I don't worry what it tells me. I've asked for God to help me and to help it rain, and I believe it's going to rain.
Yeah, come on,
so I grabbed my coat. I ain't looking at no weather channel. Darn that weather channel. I'm going to pray and expect supernatural help when I ask for it. Look what Jeremiah said. And he was a prophet about the same time. God says, call to me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. This is what Daniel needs. Maybe this is what you need. You've been trying to figure out some stuff on your own all these years, and you're just beating your head up against the wall. Maybe you need this. Here's what I do know. I love this old saying. God never shuts His storehouse until you shut your mouth. Ooh. God never shuts His storehouse until you shut your mouth. God says, call to me. You have not because you ask not. To me, hell would be like this. When I get to heaven and God says, Jim, look on that wall. That's what could have happened if you just asked. That's what you could have accomplished if you just asked. That's what you could have had if you just asked. But you didn't. But you didn't. There's some things that God wants to do for you, do through you, and give you, and He's just waiting on you to ask. Ask, seek, knock, get specific. Don't give up on just one time either. I've heard people say, all you got to do is pray about it one time. Pray. Ask. God never shuts His storehouse until you shut your mouth. Pray. But there's one condition on praying according to the Word of God, is you got to expect it. You got to expect God to give you supernatural help. And if you don't expect it, don't bother. Just mail it in. Amen? I worked for them for nearly 30 years. See where that gets you. God don't respond to griping and whining either. I want to throw that in there too. God moves instantly when you trust Him. When you trust Him. When you have faith. When you expect Him to, it honors Him. When you trust Him and expect Him to move, it honors Him. Just like my children, Luke and Sarah, and your children. I'm going to tell you what, I've heard my children before say, all you got to do is ask Dad and He'll fix it, or He'll do it, He'll get it. I'm going to tell you what, when I hear that, and I'll move heaven and earth for them. Because it honored me that they would believe that I could do it, that I would do it. Amen? God does the same thing. Trust Him and expect His answer. James 1. If you need wisdom, ask God, and He will gladly give it to you. He won't resent you asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that you expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If you don't expect it, don't worry about wasting it. If you're not going to believe it, don't bother praying. If you thank God in advance, thank Him in advance, it's called faith. If you thank Him afterwards, it's called gratitude. And God wants me and you to have both. He wants us to have both. Number six, to do when you're asked to do the impossible, number six is to worship God. To worship God. Now let me explain what that means, because a lot of people thinks that it's just music. That's what we do when it's music. And that's just one part of worship. That's one of thousands of ways of worship. Worship means this, simply focusing on God. Simply focusing on God. When I turn my attention to God, is worship. Guys, you don't have to be in church to worship. You can be in your car. You can be in the shower. I told the 8 o'clock service, I said, I've worshiped before on a horse because I didn't want to be on it. I started worshiping God quick. My focus turned to Him quick. And so you could be on the back of a horse. Because what you do is you get your focus off your problem and you get your focus on God, and that's worship. That's worship. Well, you're not distracted by things of this world, and your attention is on Him. That means I stop looking at the impossible and start looking at the one who can do the impossible, where all things are possible. And that becomes worship. Daniel 2:19 says, during the night, God revealed and explained the mystery of the dream to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven. God put it in his mind, told him what it was, and revealed the mystery of it. Woo! That's time to get your praise on. Amen. This passage that I just read shows us how to pray in a crisis. And I want you to write it down real quick, these next three steps, because you're going to need this when you're faced with the impossible situation, and you need to pray in the same three ways that Daniel did. Because I'm going to tell you something about prayer. You guys ever had anything happen to you that was worth staying up all night over and praying? Prayer reveals what's important to you, especially with something that you'll stay up all night or at least give it a good 15 minutes. Amen. Prayer reveals what's important to you. And so we need to know that. In that first little asterisk, put this: praise God for who He is. Praise God for who He is. His character. And focus on who God is. He's loving. He's kind. He's all-knowing. He's forgiving. He's gracious. So prayer is just, in the beginning, we need to focus on His character. It says, at the bottom of the outline, it says, then Daniel praised God, saying, our God, Your name will be praised forever and forever. You are all powerful and You know everything. He said, I don't know what You know, but You do, King. You know it. I don't. I love the fact that this verse said, Your name. Your name. This is some big stuff when He says, I praise Your name. It's even mentioned in the Ten Commandments. It made the top ten. It says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Well, what's the big deal? Well, I want to tell you something. If you're taking the Lord's name in vain, and it's become a habit in your life, stop that. Stop that. Tell Him you're sorry. Simply say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It'll happen. But then you need to break that habit. So for some folks, it's just a habit. It's just like saying "rrrr." But it's wrong. It's in the top 10. Please stop saying GD. Please stop that and just break that habit. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, hallowed be thy name. It means respect and honor His name. You see, His name represents His character. God's name represents who He is. That's right. And when you say he or she has a good name, what you're saying is they're reliable. They're trustworthy. They keep their promises. His name is hallowed. Name's important. And one of my kids had a wreck not long ago. And it's just a little fender bender. And they were late for work. Just a little fender bender. And the young man that he hit didn't know what to do. And I'll just tell who it is. Luke bumped into the guy. Because now the more thought about it, the more I'm proud of my son. He said, the boy said, I'm not sure what to do. He says, look, my name is Luke Pinker and my dad is Jim Pinker. You know our name. I'll pay for your truck. My dad will make sure that that happens. The name was important. Because it was my name, his name. The guy said, okie dokie. Because it was reliable. Because he knew that his promise would be kept. And it's the same way with God. God's name is important. He's way above that. It's his character. So let's respect and honor his name. And the second thing when we pray is honor God for what he does, his actions on our behalf. Look at where we at here. You control human events. You give rulers their power, and you take it away. You are the source of wisdom and knowledge. You explain deep mysteries because even the dark is light to you. Don't you like that part? Even the dark is light to you. You are the God worshipped by my ancestors. He said, you can see what I can't see. Even the dark. Lastly, we ought to thank God for helping me. As we wind up in our prayer, we ought to thank him in advance for helping us. Daniel 2:23 says, now I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what I asked for and revealed to me what the king demanded. We ought to be grateful for our past, our present, and our future. We ought to thank him. Which leads us to number 7. Real quick, we're going to get the kids stuff. Use what God shows me to save others. When we're faced with the impossible, we ought to use what God shows us to save others. What God gives me and what God gives you and blesses us, we ought to do it with the same with other people. God wants to save you and me from impossible situations, but not just for us, but for others, for our families, you know, for our friends, our coworkers, our enemies. I want to tell you something. God has never made a person that he doesn't love. Even your competitors. God so loved the world. He didn't say, God so loved Republicans. He didn't say, God so loved Democrats. He didn't say, God so loved heterosexuals. He didn't say God so loved folks from Rockmar. Well, I mean, he might have done that. Daniel 2:24 says, then Daniel rushed to see Arioch. I've been laughing about Arioch all week. Now he'll tell you in a minute. Who'd been ordered to execute all the king's advisors. He said, call off the execution and take me to the king, and I'll explain the meaning of his dream. He said, call it off. Take me to the king. I don't know why this ain't been no movie. Daniel's life was extraordinary. Can you imagine the 17-year-old said, hey, call it off. Don't kill nobody. God wants everyone to be saved. Guys, this is called witnessing. I believe this is why North Point is constantly growing is that me and the leadership are praying, God, show me something that saves other people. That other people. Save them from disasters, from problems, from defeat. From defeat. Save them from conflict. God wants to show you stuff, but not just for your benefit. He wants to show you stuff so you can witness. It's not just for you. Let me read 25 and 26. It's in my Bible, but it's in your Bible too. I shouldn't say it like that. This is what I've been laughing about all week, Arioch. Arioch's kind of a punk. He's a guy. He says, then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king interpretation. Arioch taking all the credit. Did y'all notice that? He's the king. I found somebody that can do it. remember me, because I found a man. It was me that found him. I've like that. Y'all don't seem as funny about that as I do. Because I remember people like that in school. I remember people like that this week. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just look at it next time and say, Ariok. Ariok. That's what I've been doing. Every time they do that this week, I say, Ariok. What's Ariok? Go look it up. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I haven't seen and its interpretation? The king said, is it true? Can you really do this? And it leads us into point number 8. Point people to God. His reply in the rest of these verses leads us to number 8. Point people to God. What Daniel's saying is, don't take credit for yourself. Don't take credit for yourself. Let me read 27 through 30. Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries made known to you is what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind, that you would understand it. You see, what happened here is this wasn't revealed for Daniel. It was revealed for Nebuchadnezzar. But I love the part, and I put it in a different translation because I wanted you to underline one part. There is a God in heaven. Can you underline, there is a God in heaven? I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what's happening. But things may be falling apart in your home right now. Things may be falling apart at work. But I want you to know one thing, if you can take this home today, is that there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. There is hope. There is hope. Whatever in your life is falling apart, there is a God in heaven. Like I said, God wasn't really interested in Daniel. He was interested in Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king. And he used a 17-year-old kid to witness to him because all the credit went to God. Daniel could have said, you know what? It's because of my diet, man. It's because I've been living right. No, he said, there is a God in heaven. He said, there is a God. Daniel points people back to God. And guys, we got to always give credit to God. God will do great things through the person who doesn't care who gets the credit. To great things. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. And that's good news. Guys, we're going to do this the rest of our lives. So if you're here this morning and your situation seems hopeless, this is what I want to tell you. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. There is hope for the hopeless. And I want to tell you from personal experiences that the more you point people to God, the bigger the platform that he's going to give you. The more you point them to him, there is hope. His name is Jesus. There is a God in heaven. Let me end it by reading Daniel 2, 46 through 49. Just tell you the character of Daniel. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel, and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him after Daniel had revealed all the stuff to him. That was wrong. He shouldn't have done that, but you know, he's brand new. He didn't know. Let's cut him some slack here because he kind of caught up to what he's supposed to be doing in verse 47. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. and chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. 17 years old, he's the mayor of Babylon. I mean, he just got promoted to be the mayor of Babylon. 17 years, that's what I wrote. I wrote in the Bible, Daniel got promoted again. He got promoted again. Because why? He was tested and he passed. Remember, you're going to get blessed. You got to first pass the test. He passed the test. He got promoted. Just to throw this in here, I want to read you verse 49. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Guys, when you get blessed, when you get promoted, don't forget your friends. Don't forget your friends. Don't forget your friends. Don't become an island. Amen? Don't be an Ariat. He's such an Ariat. That's my new cuss word. My wife will get on to me saying that. You Ariat, get out of here, you Ariat. What's impossible in your life right now? What's impossible in your life right now? Better yet, what's causing you to lose sleep? What's causing you to lose sleep? I want to do something. These y'all come on up here and get ready to sing. This won't take me long, but I have a couple of the elders here and anybody else too, but I want to know if there's, I want to pray for you. I want to pray personally for you. If you would like for me to pray for you, or one of the elders, they're going to be, they'll be here too if it kind of draws a crowd. I'd like for you to come tell me. I have some oil in my pocket if you want me to anoint you with that oil on your forehead. But if you have something that you'd love for me to pray, I'd love to pray. I would ask that you do this. I have an attention span of a gnat. Give it to me in one sentence of less than 6 words. I know you got lots of problems, but we can condense them down. And I'd love to pray for you real quickly. If you go to telling me too many sentences, my eyes are going to glaze over, and I'll forget what you told me. But if you would like to come down as they sing, I'd love to pray for you.